You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show whose real dad is Mr. Boogity. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Do you want to get our spooky movies out of the way first?
Yeah, get your spooky movies.
Do those spooky movies.
We watched a couple of them, I think, since last time.
Okay.
You have to write them down.
No. I mean, we watched half of Suspiria, and then I got too tired.
Okay. Yeah. Which one, the original or the remake?
The original.
Okay, good. That's the better one.
And we also tried to watch one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboots, but the listing on Amazon Prime plays a documentary about the real Texas Chainsaw Massacre every time you try to start it. So that was out.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Like, this can't be right.
I kept trying to play every time. It's like, why? Every time. It's like, why is this playing? This is not what I wanted to watch. There had to have been one we actually finished. And now I'm struggling to remember what it was. I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House was one of them that we watched.
So you watched my documentary.
This one was on Netflix.
Okay.
It was the most gothic horror haunted house movie I've ever seen.
I would recommend it if you were pretty sensitive to scary movies and gore, because it's not very bad.
Yeah, it's a gentler, spooky movie.
Yeah. So if you're not, like, that really freaks you out,
okay,
I would give this one a go.
It's more about setting a tone and walking in that tone. It's about a woman that goes to, like, a hospice nurse that stays with this old horror writer in her house until she passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this lady just walking through rooms in the house saying very writerly thing, making very writerly poetic observations. And then she dies. Like, it's like an old gothic novel.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. Like, yeah, that sounds pretty great.
If you've ever read the story, was it The Yellow Wallpaper? It's like one of the first ever, like, feminist horror stories.
It sounds familiar. Yeah,
it reminds me a lot of that. When I first watched it, I wasn't into it afterwards. I'm like, that was it. But the more it sat with me and the more I thought about it.
It's a thinker.
Yeah, the more I thought about what it was going for, the more I liked it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, you know, don't go into this one expecting to get spooked or whatever. It's more about setting the mood.
Yeah, and that's good. I kind of like those a little better than Jump Scare, the movie.
Yeah.
That's like I thought, like Crimson Peak was going to be a good movie, and it's really not.
But it's got friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Yeah, yeah. But you wouldn't know that because he's all covered in CG and makeup.
But he's always covered in CG and makeup. Yeah, friend of the show, Doug Jones, is always.
That's his job.
I know, but you never really get like a look of his face or anything. It's mostly just hand, like his creepy hands reaching out.
Again, that's friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Yeah, you don't get Doug Jones for
his handsome face.
Yeah. You get him for his character motion work.
His big, creepy fingers.
And honestly, I didn't know that was him for a long time, actually until very recently.
He's done a lot of stuff that I did not realize it was him until way later on. Do you guys remember the Benchwarmers?
Oh my God.
That comedy movie? The one where the adults play against children in Little League Baseball?
It was John Herder's first movie outside of Napoleon Dynamite.
It was. Yeah, did you know that John Lovitz's talking robot butler had a person inside it, and that person was Doug Jones? Friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Man, I can't wait to we get a chance to meet him again.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk to Doug Jones again so that we can actually stake a claim to friend of the show, Doug Jones.
He is an honest delight.
He is.
Like, of the celebrities we have met and talked to over the years.
Yes.
He is definitely one of my favorites.
He's up there. He's one of the best.
Just
for sure.
Treasure.
Just standing there watching him interact with everybody.
I know, it was fantastic.
He's so happy.
Comics. He was an absolute delight and the nicest man you could ever meet.
He really, really was. Yeah.
And so tall.
He was very tall. Tousled my hair.
And my beard.
And your beard. Yeah.
He's like, he just grabs my face and he's like, I love this.
And then you're like, me too.
Well, hey, I could do my check it out real quick. I didn't do a whole lot this week. I started playing Shovel Knight. I made the jump.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm fine. I got through the first campaign with Shovel Knight completely, all the way through, 100%ed it. Everything was fine. It was actually a lot easier to play this time around. I think it did better on the Switch than on like the 3DS.
Oh yeah, the Joy-Cons are infinitely more ergonomic than the little 3DS brick.
Yeah, so I got through that and I loved it. It's great. I really, really enjoy that game. Jumped into the second game, Plague Knight, and I like the story. Oh boy, I love the story. I do not like how that character moves.
It's different.
It's really different. He's so slighty, and like every hit, he like bounces halfway across the screen, and like it is just the pits, man.
I'm excited for King Knight.
I am too. That's kind of why I ended up picking it
up. He's my favorite of the Order of No Quarter. Just the guy who decided, well, I'm the king.
Yeah. So I guess I should explain what Shovel Knight is. Shovel Knight was a Kickstarter game. One of the first really, really super successful Kickstarter video games by Yacht Club. It is a throwback to 8 and 16-bit like platformers.
It's very Mega Man-esque.
It is very Mega Man-esque, yes. You are a knight whose primary weapon is a shovel instead of a sword, and you're going across the country to stop the evil Enchantress. And along the way, you have to fight her horde of, like, basically Mega Man bosses that are all other themed knights, like Plague Knight and Polar Knight.
Spectre Knight.
Propeller Knight.
Treasure Knight.
King Knight.
No.
There's a water one.
The one in the submarine.
Was it Mole Knight?
Yeah, oh yeah, there's Mole Knight, in his volcano.
Yeah, I really love the setup. The game is really super funny.
I love the music.
The music is fantastic. It is...
That's Jake Kaufman. He does good music.
Yeah, Vert does great, great, great music.
Like, sometimes I just sit there and listen to it on Spotify, and I'm like, yes.
His soundtrack to Shantae Half-Genie Hero is amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
I see. I don't doubt it.
It's some serious bangers.
Yeah.
I have the soundtrack CD in my car.
Nice. Nice. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I kind of hope that they continue doing games based on the other knights. I kind of would be interested in seeing what a Tinker Knight
gameplay would be
because he's so tiny.
And crafting things.
That would be the main mechanic for that one. And like... Yeah, I just don't know.
With Shovel Knight Dig coming out, I don't know if they're really going to keep the trend of the knights.
You never know. It just kind of depends if they see an uptick in sales after King Knight and the Shovel Knight Showdown, which is their Smash Brothers.
And they also
is another game that and the best part is you pay one price and you get like four, by the end of it, it's going to be like four or five games for like the cost of half of one game.
It's called Treasure Trove for a reason.
Yes, it is like a boundless like.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, just it's boundless like, it's, riches.
It's what a season pass should be.
Yes, yeah, absolutely agree. The only issue is halfway through playing Plague Knight, my Nintendo Switch succumbed to the left Joy-Con drift issue.
The dreaded drift
that has been a thing. So. For folks who don't know, people who bought the Switch right out of the gate, apparently there is a problem with the left Joy-Con. The stick stops working. The joystick stop, like it'll drift to like one side or the other. Mine in particular is up. Like it is stuck. It is nearly always stuck in the up position. And it is to the point where it's getting to the point where I can't, like if I jiggle it, it'll kind of recenter for a second. But it is getting rapidly to the point where that does not work anymore. So... Got to figure something out, especially with Pokemon coming out in less than a month.
It is less than a month.
Yeah.
It's coming. Luigi's Mansion comes out on the 31st.
That's right. Yes.
That is going to be an absolute treat.
It is. Everyone's going to be into that Gooigi.
Yeah. I remembered the other movie we watched.
Oh, let's hear it.
Apollo 18.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
haunted moon one.
Yeah, it's a found footage moon space
I remember
movie.
When this was in
I've
theaters.
I've seen this movie.
It reviewed poorly.
Yes, I remember that.
I kind of liked it. I thought it was fun.
High concept.
I remember when the trailers and stuff come out, like, oh, this is like Paranormal Activity on the Moon. And it's not that at all. Like, it's...
It has some similarities,
It though. Does.
Well, found footage.
Said that during... Yeah.
There's a part where the one astronaut is just standing over the other one while he's sleeping, and I'm like, this is Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, but it's like the twist in it is like it wasn't something I was expecting.
Yeah. Well, the conceit of it is there's a secret Apollo 18 mission to the moon that we don't know about to put some devices up there, supposedly to spy on the Russians, but things don't go as planned on the moon.
The twist is the moon's a ghost!
No, it's an egg like that Doctor Who
episode. Oh, it's like a giant egg, yes. Yes, the Doctor Who episode. I know about that one.
It's like that meme where like the astronauts come back and like the guy's like, well, that was fast. He goes, moon was haunted.
Moon's haunted.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Cock's gun. Moon's haunted.
Moon's haunted.
And gets back in the spaceship.
It's basically a bunch of moon rocks that turn into spider monsters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Spoiler alert.
I think the reason why people don't like it is because you have to fit in a very specific group of people who think retro space stuff is cool, and people who are also willing to suspend their disbelief for grossly inaccurate science.
Yeah, I suppose the Venn diagram on that does not have much overlap. Yeah.
I mean, I fall in there somehow.
It might be just you and like a handful of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to check this one out because I remember it reviewed poorly and I kind of steered clear because like, ah, man, I don't want to spend my money on that. But is it on a streaming?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix? Okay, then yeah, I might have to check that one out.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I think I rented it back in the day on like Netflix disc or something.
Wow, that is a while. Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And I like NASA astronaut space stuff, but I'm not a stickler for accuracy in a film. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, if you're watching a movie, unless it's a documentary, I don't need accuracy. I'm fine with...
Now it makes me want to go watch Apollo 11.
Which one is that?
The one with Tom Hanks
you mean
in
13?
It.
The one... The space movie, you know, with Tom Cruise.
That's Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Is it
Apollo 13?
Yeah. I thought it was Apollo 11.
No.
No, Apollo 11 was Neil Armstrong, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Josh, have you checked anything out this week?
I've done a few things.
Okay.
Don't shame me or anything, but I've been playing a lot of Overwatch today.
Shame! Shame!
And we'll get into that later.
Hashtag boycott Blizzard.
No, let's...
Trust me, I tried to go play Team Fortress 2 the other day.
Oh, no. I imagine that doesn't hold up so well.
Nope. It runs like crap on my modern computer, and it was not fun.
Oh. No.
I used to be really good at that game, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that game quite a bit back in the day.
But yeah, the Halloween event started.
Oh, yes.
And so that's what I was doing.
Okay, did you get any of the good Halloween skins? Because that's the point of the game at this point is dress your mans up.
Mm-hmm. I pulled Witch Mercy out of a box.
Okay.
I've always wanted Witch Mercy.
That one's pretty good. I got the new Orisa one that makes it look like a big stone demon thing.
Oh, nice.
I got McCree's cool coffin victory video play of the game thing.
Mm.
Where you like drag a body and throw him in a coffin.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool.
I mean, it was fun. I played the Junkenstein's Revenge on hard, on endless mode.
Mm.
I've always really enjoyed Junkenstein's Revenge and wish it was a permanent feature or something like it was a permanent feature.
It's a lot like, it's a horde mode.
Yeah. I like player versus enemy better than player versus player.
Do you ever think that when the popularity of Overwatch wanes enough, they're going to implement some kind of story mode?
I think they'll do a separate game.
Well, separate game.
They've been kind of doing that because every so often they have like flashback scenes or an event where you have where they did they do it's like another horror mode kind of thing, and you play through like a. There was one where you played like a. Like Tracer's first mission when she joined Overwatch and stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah,
and
they have cutscenes for those and stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's like story involved. And there was one recently where they are going after some high tier Talon agent who's not one of the other playable Talon characters.
Gotcha.
Like Reaper and Doomfist and all that.
And then sometimes you're all May and you're all throwing snowballs at each other.
Yeah, that was a good Christmas one. I liked that one.
And sometimes she puts a rock in them.
But yeah, I was doing that and playing the skins. The Sea of Thieves Halloween event started today.
Nice.
And I was doing some of that.
Okay.
It's called the Fort of the Damned. Mm-hmm. And they added a bunch of stuff. And a lot of it I haven't gotten a chance to really do.
Please say Fort of the Darned.
Watch your mouth.
This is a family show.
Apparently they added a firebomb that you can shoot or throw onto other people's ships and catch their ships on fire.
Wow, that sounds like it would be OP almost.
I know, and I was reading through like some of the patch notes and stuff. Apparently when it's raining it'll put the fire out.
Oh, nice.
I was like, I didn't find any today. And I was like, man, I really wanted to hurt somebody.
I mean, I guess it's not hard to get a bucket of water to throw on the fire.
No, no. It just really depends on what's going on.
Mm. Or a bucket of puke. You could probably do that too.
Yeah.
Still can't believe that that is a mechanic in this game.
Yes. Yeah, you can throw up in a bucket and then throw it on people.
I was in the middle of a fight and I needed to eat food and I pulled up my food thing and I went thinking and I ate a piece of raw meat and it didn't heal me and I just started throwing up and I'm like, I hate this.
Just like in real life.
Pretty much.
You know, when you're on a pirate ship and you just eat a whole bunch of raw meat and let it rip.
But apparently the mechanic of the Fort of the Darned.
Thank you.
It's just it's a
family show.
It's a family show, damn it.
It's a skeleton fort raid style like before, except
Seth MacFarlane show, family show.
Yeah.
Totally.
But you can't fight any of the skeletons in it until you get the special colored flames from when you die certain ways and bring it back from the Fairy of the Darned.
That's leading heavy. Okay, yeah, let's lead heavy into it this week. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, there's like six different colors you have to collect to light all these torches around the special fort to be able to raid it and get the special loot and stuff and special clothing options. And all.
Then you buy your new pirate clothes.
And they added some new stuff to the cash shop. A skeletal pet, skeletal monkey pet, skeletal bird pet.
Nice.
And a whole ship set based off of Fulgore from Killer Instinct.
Oh, no, man. No way.
Yeah, like the sails even say KI on them.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good.
And everything has like Fulgore's like wrist blades and stuff on it.
That almost makes me want to download and play this game.
I'll send you pictures. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, send me some pictures of the Fulgore ship because that's pretty great.
Other than that, I was playing Killer Queen Black.
Yes, I saw that came out.
Yeah.
How is that?
Man, it's rough sometimes.
The original Killer Queen was like...
Yeah,
It's a hardcore competitive experience.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So what is this game?
Killer Queen Black is an updated version of the arcade game Killer Queen. And basically, it's two teams of four, and you have three different win conditions to win. There's the economy win, where you collect... You're basically all bees. It's like a post-apocalyptic world taken over by humanoid bees.
Mm-hmm.
And that... kind of plays like Joust if you're the queen or a warrior, and you collect these little berries or whatever you want to call them. Basically they look like big ass grapes.
Big butt grapes.
And
family show.
if you fill up your thing in your base, you win the economy win. There's the military win, where if you kill their queen three times, and then there is the snail win. Because every map has the snail in the middle
snail going across.
in the middle of the screen, and it's really slow. And if you can get the snail to the other side, I mean, you win.
Oh, okay,
man, and it's crossplay.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Huh. Oh, nice.
Like I was playing on Steam, and I kept running into a bunch of Switch people.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The game, you really need a really good D-pad or joystick to really get it.
Yeah.
Like Matt's been playing it with a fight stick, and then he broke his B button.
Oh. Of course he did.
The B button.
He has B button in the B game.
Yes, very apropos.
Yeah, that's the one he smashed, though. It was his attack button.
We should go out to the... There's arcades in Columbus that do tournaments.
Really?
Yeah, we should hit one of those up. I'll bet it's fun.
I knew of like one restaurant / bar that had it. I don't remember what the name of it is, but I remember playing it. And they're like upstairs. It was fun. God, it was so much fun. But yeah, a lot of things you can do if you're like one of the workers... Because basically, one player is the queen, and then the other three are workers.
Yes.
A queen can fly and dash and kill everything. Then if you're a worker, you're either collecting stuff, riding the snail, getting eaten by the snail. That's a strat, because if the team is winning with the snail thing, you can keep feeding yourself to the snail, because the snail will stop moving to eat.
Oh, interesting. That is an interesting strategy. Yeah.
I also found out if you're carrying one of the berries and the queen dashes at you, you can throw your berry at her, and if you hit her, you knock her out of her dash animation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This game's very intricately balanced. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't remember if all the other power-ups that are in Black are in the original arcade. I don't think they are, but...
But I remember the people saying that the original... is like notoriously difficult.
Oh, it is. It is.
It is super, super good, but super difficult.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, especially seeing, you know, four people, like eight people crowded around a giant arcade cabinet.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty great.
We watched people playing it at G-Dex last year.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to go to G-Dex this year. I've had serious G-Dex FOMO about it.
Yeah.
but Killer Queen Black is really good. I recommend picking it up either on the Switch or on Steam.
Yeah. With that much going on, I don't know. I wonder how the frame rate is on Switch.
Well, the game itself is very much in a... It still kind of looks like it's arcade version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right. 2D pixel art.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then that's not bad then. I was kind of thinking it was like pre-rendered 3D on a 2D plane.
No.
So, yeah, okay, well, in that case, yeah, then, yeah, Switch would almost be a perfect place to get it.
Oh, and I'll tell you that there were some Switch teams that were just taking us to the cleaners.
Oh, I bet.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, it's crossplay, and I love the fact that it's crossplay because you've always got somebody to play, basically. Yeah. But it's fun. It's also very frustrating, especially if you get somebody who's not very good at playing the queen, and sure. They basically just keep feeding the team.
But you know, you're gonna get that sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
It's like sports.
Exactly.
It's team sports, but with bees.
Yeah, that's everything I've checked out.
That's everything?
Okay. Because I've already milked Untitled Goose Game till the cows come home.
I still think I might pick up that Goose Game at some point. It just looks like dumb fun.
Just remember, peace was never an option.
I've still been plugging away at that new ukulele in the Impossible Lair. It holds up.
Really good?
Like, it's still really good.
Good.
If you like platform games, this is the one to get.
Good. I still haven't seen The Joker. the Joker movie.
Me either.
I don't want to.
Or Addams Family, for that matter.
I've heard mixed reviews about the Addams Family.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard that it's just all right, but it should have been live action with Oscar Isaac actually playing the live action Gomez instead of it being animated. That's what I've heard.
I really
also the Snoop Dogg thing is kind of out of left field.
I really wanted to see it, and then I saw that the Rotten Tomatoes score was 40, and I'm like, I can wait.
Yeah, I can wait. It's one that I can wait till DVD. Yeah.
Now this Friday. I guess this weekend or whatever.
By the time this airs,
that Lighthouse movie is going to be out.
Ooh. Yeah, that might
and
be worth
really
checking out.
And I really want to go watch that.
Yeah, but maybe
we go see that this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
We'll see.
Yeah, I will eventually see The Joker, see the Joking Man movie.
Crime Clown.
The Clown of Crime. Yeah, I just, the more I see about it, the more it seems as though the directors are retroactively trying to say that the movie is about a bigger story about mental illness and stuff like that, and trying to assign a meaning to a movie where it's, but the in actuality it misses the mark like spectacularly.
I just, from the things that Todd Phillips has said in the media, he doesn't seem like a smart enough man to have tackled that theme
kind of heavy of a topic,
any sort of nuance or intelligence.
yeah
Well, it's not just that, it's like everything, like Martin Scorsese saying stuff, him saying stuff, Joaquin Phoenix going on, like,
well, now to be fair, Joaquin Phoenix has always been in interviews, he's always been kind of a basket case,
kind of sensitive,
real sensitive about stuff. Everything I've heard says that he should get an Oscar nomination for this movie, but this movie shouldn't actually
grew
win
up in
anything
a cult.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, you know, earned his eccentricities.
Like bad cult.
Yeah.
Like, if you've read up on that, they're bad.
Yeah, no, I know.
Not good.
No, I know what kind of cult he was raised in.
The Children of God?
Cult, yeah.
Yeah, like, he went on Jimmy, and, like, he, like, looked at Jimmy and goes, I feel like you just brought me on the show to make fun of me, and just looked at him real seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's, Joaquin Phoenix, from what I understand, has done does an excellent job of the movie, but the movie itself misses the point so hard that it's almost
sad,
almost laughable if it wasn't so.
I mean, the dude directed The Hangover. Like, you're not going to get a good movie out of it.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, again, can't accurately review something until you actually see it.
That's true.
And I will end up having to see it because we got to talk about it on the show.
I'm making wild assumptions.
I almost went and saw it today, but then decided I would rather take a nap.
Also, it's a 2.5 hour long movie.
It really is.
That's
long.
Too long.
It's too long of a movie about an angry clown man
who starts an angry clown cult.
Yeah.
I'm so old that I go through Netflix and go, too long, too long. 2 hours, too much. Yeah. You know, give me an hour 20, hour and a half at tops.
Oh, yeah. No, most, I mean, a lot of movies these days could use one more pass of editing just to kind of tighten it up a little bit. But anyway, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Spooky Scary Skeletons by The Living Tombstone.
Yes.
That's what it was? Okay. And we played that because it's Halloween month.
Yeah, it's tradition now. We got to play the spooky...
spooky music for the spooky times.
Yeah, the Halloween carol.
That's right. Yes.
It's month of ween.
Yes. Let's go ahead and get into some news. We have some Pokemon stuff first, so...
we always have Pokemon
Have Pokemon. Well, the game's coming out in less than a month, so... Which so is close. It's scary to think about, speaking of spooky things.
Yeah. Where'd all my time go?
Yeah, right? So the Pokemon Company released a new trailer for Sword and Shield. This one had a bunch of the Gigamax, which is their gimmick for this generation, where the Pokemon gets real, real big for a couple of turns. Apparently, there is a special kind, like certain Pokemon, if you make them real big, they also change the way they look and the way they kind of act.
They get some kind of special
power. It's basically Mega Evolving, but also they get huge. So this trailer was kind of a highlight of the ones that kind of change shape,
mm-hmm.
which included Pikachu.
Going back to form.
He gets real chubby, real chunky boy.
Yeah, he looks like the original Pikachu before they slimmed him down for the cartoon and everything.
If he had a very, very long tail. Also.
Yes, his tail is like pure electricity too. It's like a big glowing like lightning bolt, which is pretty cool. So we have that. We actually also have an Eevee that gets a real big plumage.
Yeah, and those real fluffy
collar.
Neck, collar thing. Yeah,
mane. Fluff.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. Those two you can exclusive if your Switch has save data from Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Nice.
So that's cool. I think mine still has save data from both because remember I popped your cartridge of Eevee in once to get the
spirit in Smash Bros.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's still going. I think that'll work. We'll have to see.
The Eevee special ability is to make Pokemon of the opposite gender infatuated with it.
Yeah, it's called like...
Which is like a little heteronormative, but whatever.
Well, it's Pokemon. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Eevee's always been that beautiful pocket monster.
Yeah.
It should just make everybody infatuated with it. I think that's better.
That probably.
I don't think there's a reason to 50-50 split it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think it would be OP if it was...
I don't think it would be either, but I guess it is a reason to use the gender things other than for cosmetic looks of the Pokemon. They also showed off a Charizard, and he like gets engulfed in flames and stuff.
He looks like Endeavor from My Hero Academia. Yeah.
Does he get a fire mustache? Fire eyebrows?
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of does. Yeah, a little bit.
Nice.
But that's the first thing I thought of was Endeavor when I saw it.
Oh, great. I'm going to have an emo dad-hating Charmander running around.
Yeah.
And the last one that they showed in this trailer, there was only four, right? Because
there was a Butterfree.
Oh, there was a Butterfree that gets like actual cool-looking wings.
Yeah, like some seriously big wings.
Yeah.
Mothra style?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much it just looks like a giant Mothra. And they showed off Meowth.
Oh, yes. Long, long Meowth.
Yes. It gets real long in the tummy area. Yeah.
Old tube cat.
I feel like that is a reference to the old cat meme of the long cat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely is a reference for sure. But and those are just some of the ones that they showed off. I'm sure there's going to be plenty more.
I want a Venomoth man.
Oh, that would be pretty great.
I want Venomoth to turn into a Mothman.
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty neat. Also, they didn't highlight it, but they one of the opponents that the big Pokemon were like, using their attacks against as a demonstration was the one that looks like Gene Simmons, the new one.
The big badger, kiss badger.
Yeah, and like his standing pose, he's like, he has the tongue out and he's like this with his arms crossed, and he just looks like Gene Simmons. Like, they're not even trying to hide it at this point. He's just Gene Simmons, the Pokemon.
Great, now I'm going to name one just Gene Simmons.
But no, I am really excited for Pokemon Sword and Shield. It comes out the November 15th.
Yes.
It's like the week before Black Friday, which is genius. I mean,
it's going to be so sold out for Christmas.
Yeah, Switches are going to be flying off the shelves.
Yeah.
It's going to be madness.
Yeah, I'm glad I pre-ordered.
It's going to be mine. Pokemon Mania all over again.
Yeah.
But not like Pokemon Go, where there was briefly world peace for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it did solve world, you know, world crises for 2 weeks.
But unless you were Team Valor.
Man, well. But speaking of Pokemon Go, there's actually a little bit of news coming out with that as well. As of right now, there is a Halloween event for the next couple, 2-3 weeks, which is pretty cool. A lot of ghost types are going to be popping up.
I think it's ghost and dark.
And dark type, yeah. But they're highlighting a couple of the newer ones for the new gen.
Yeah.
Like the candle is going to be, the candle Pokemon is going to be, yeah.
His name is the candle.
The candle Pokemon. And also they're introducing into the game, it hasn't been in the game yet, I think it's called Yamask.
Yamask,
that weird,
yeah.
That weird like Egyptian thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or it turns into a sarcophagus with ghost arms. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's
looking.
A cool one.
Yeah.
Plus some new Halloween style outfits for your character.
Mm-hmm. And for the Pokemon, you can catch a Pikachu with the Halloween costume.
Yep. Pikachu looks like a Mimikyu.
Yep. It's pretty cute.
Which is just going full circle.
Yes, it is.
Mimikyu is a, some sort of ghost monster disguised, poorly disguised as a Pikachu.
Yeah.
To be loved more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's jealous of Pikachu's popularity.
Yes. But yeah, it's really cool. I'm looking forward to this event. They also announced, and I guess there's going to be a special event. I think they're going to give everyone another chance to get that that ghost rock thing, that weird one where the description says that it has 108 souls trapped inside it or something like that.
Oh, Spiritomb?
Spiritomb. Yeah, I think they're going to make that one available again. There is another event that's going to be coming out the first weekend of November. It's actually causing a little bit of controversy online, although I think the controversy is more just people complaining in like comment sections and the Twitter of the Pokemon Go.
Isn't that just controversy anymore in this modern age?
Yeah, I guess it is. But they announced that there is going to be a special event that is actually going to cost real world dollars to enter. And at the end of this event, you end up getting an exclusive Pokemon, one that hasn't been in the game yet. If you read it at face value, I could see where people would get upset about, hey, they're going to start putting a paywall. They're going to charge us to catch our digital monster friends. And that kind of sucks.
And they kind of already do because they sell Pokeballs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, ever since they put Adventure Sink in the game,
I've never had to
buy one.
Same here. But if you actually read the description of the event, what it does is it costs $8, but it basically is like a worldwide version of the Pokemon Go Fest. Go Fest is a typically a weekend event that they set up in different cities around the world. Chicago has done it for like 3 or 4 years running.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's always one in Singapore. There's always one in Taipei.
Australia.
And there's one in Germany as well.
Oh.
Yeah, in Australia. There's one in Australia. But I think what they're doing is they're testing like a worldwide kind of thing so that
everyone can get a shot at it.
Everyone can get a shot at it. My theory is it's for people who, when the Chicago Go Fest comes around next summer, they're going to be like, okay, you can pay $25 to actually get a ticket to go and be at the event there, or you can get a light version that you can play at home if you spend $10, which I think is just as good.
Yeah.
I think that's a good step.
I don't think it's a big ask.
It's not.
Especially as generous as they've been with Pokeballs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with the Adventure Sync and the friend code thing, buying like Pokeballs and different things like that has become non-existent. So they got to make their money somewhere. It is still a company at the end of the day.
I mean, Niantic still has to pay for people to run the servers, do bug coding, add new features.
Yeah. And also, they're not strictly putting a paywall behind this one particular Pokemon. What's happening is you're getting an early access to it. It's going to be made available worldwide for regular players like 2 or 3 weeks after this event happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're going to be trapped and never get it.
And it's not like this guy is going to be the end-all Pokemon.
It's not.
The uber Pokemon that destroys all the other ones.
It's really not. You can't put it in gyms or anything because it's a specialty kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, you're not just getting that. You're going to be getting at a special event where you're getting a bunch of like XP. You're going to be getting a bunch of items. You're going to be getting a special like pose that you can make your avatar. Cosmetic stuff, sure. Yeah. But it's enough that will justify
the cost.
The cost. I feel.
I'm going to up my inventory.
I wish they had poses that didn't look bad.
Yeah.
I don't like any of the poses.
They're not great. They're not great, but this one actually looks kind of cool. It looks kind of like a triumphant kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. So I guess I can understand some people being upset, but also, you know, relax.
People are just being cheap, and people also love to be weird about Pokemon.
People love complaining about Pokemon Go. I think more people complain about Pokemon Go than people that actually play the game at this point.
Yeah.
Because, like, every time the Pokemon Go company puts something on Twitter, like, the responses are all, like...
just hate.
It's nothing but, like, hate responses. It is baffling to me, like, how much vitriol this game gets, despite people seemingly loving playing it. You know, it's weird. It's kind of a weird thing.
It gets my doughy butt out of the house.
Yeah, same here.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like it for what it is.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, every time I go out, I walk four and a half miles.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like they're becoming stagnant. They're constantly adding things.
Oh, it's such a better game.
They are adding stuff way faster than they used to.
Oh, yeah. It's like, if you were to look at the game when it first released... compared to now, it is almost a completely different game. Like, they've pretty much rebuilt the whole thing. I mean, it's wild.
Trading, fighting, Team Rocket stuff, all the new Pokemon.
Yeah, everything. Okay, so hey,
let's talk about
something else. Let's talk about, what's this Analog Pocket thing?
The company Analog, who make a lot of high-end recreations of, like, classic game consoles. There's an Analog NT that plays NES games.
Yeah.
And it plays them at like 1080p, looks real nice, plays the original cartridges without any sort of emulation.
Yes, that's really cool.
They're going to make a Game Boy one that plays Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance.
Out of the box.
Yeah, a little backlit handheld, looks super cool.
Oh, it is super cool. It's super sleek.
It looks like, it kind of reminds me of the Slim Game Boys they came out with.
Yeah.
After the Game Boy Color.
It looks like a Game Boy for adults.
It really does.
It's a game man.
Yeah.
Game dad.
Not only is it going to play the Game Boy games out of the box, for an additional cost, you can get an adapter that can play Game Gear games, Neo Geo Pocket.
I mean, good luck finding them, but...
Well, yeah. And what's the other one?
Atari Lynx.
The Atari Lynx, which is really cool that it's going to be able to play like all these different systems... you know, worth of games on one handheld. The thing also has a rechargeable battery.
But let's be honest, handheld games that weren't on the Game Boy are trash.
They weren't.
They're mostly trash.
They weren't great, but you can play your Sonic.
I like the Game Gear.
You can play those weird Sonic Game Gear games.
It would be nice to play a Game Gear game where you don't constantly have to worry about the battery.
Yeah, where the battery lasts more than an hour.
Yeah.
And you could probably see it a lot better because the screen won't be constantly blurring.
Yes, yes. But no, this console has stereo sound. It has USB charging. You can map the buttons to whatever you'd like, which is really cool.
Backlit.
It's backlit.
It's got four buttons, which is two more than any Game Boy ever had.
Yeah. It also has a built-in like digital music studio kind of thing that's packed in. And that's really cool. It is $200, which is a little steep, but this is also like a premium kind of product thing.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like a really nice piece of electronics.
This is a fancy boy's...
It's a fancy boy.
Yeah.
Game.
And, you know, I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. I probably will never own one because, I mean, when am I going to play handheld games, honestly? Whatever. But then they also said, oh, and one more thing, they're also making a TV dock so you can play all of your handheld games on your TV in upscaled 1080p. With a Bluetooth controller. And like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh no.
Like the Game Boy player.
Yeah.
Yeah, your adult Game Boy is now a Switch.
Yeah. Like, I'm having a hard time in my brain not trying to justify the cost, honestly. I mean, I'll find a way, but like, it's...
from what I've heard...
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, from what I've heard, Analog makes really, really good stuff. So
well, for the
probably,
price, they better.
Yeah, it'll probably be worth the price.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, great. There's like 8 Nintendo games out there that I want to play that were good on the Game Boy.
Now, you see, the thing is, what if it also played Virtual Boy games?
You know, I was thinking about that, too.
If it somehow converted the cart to, like, even if it just flattened the image or whatever.
The only way they could do it would be through emulation, which
that's not what they do. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because the inner workings of the Virtual Boy are a bunch of spinning mirrors and light-emitting diodes.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
I don't think they would go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
True. The only Nintendo system I have never played.
Really?
Yep.
I got one.
You have to bring it over sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try it.
See if it works with my one eye.
We can all burn out our retinas.
Oh, it won't. It doesn't work with my one eye.
All right. Hey, we have a couple of quick hits here before we get out of here. Let's see. So Zoe Kravitz, the actress and daughter of singer Lenny Kravitz, has been cast in the new Batman movie as Catwoman.
Sure.
Cool.
Great.
Why not?
Okay, cool. I mean, this is her step back into superhero films because she was in X-Men First Class as the lady with the bug wings that spit acid. She didn't have a lot to do in that movie, but she was there.
Nope, she was there for like maybe two scenes and then like an emotional thing and then done.
And then done.
She switched sides.
She did.
Now she's on DC.
Yeah.
Because Marvel made her be a bug lady.
Right.
I mean...
Well, most more folks know her from the Fantastic Beasts movies. She was... Whatever, Lestrange.
Lestrange. Yeah. I forget.
Yeah.
Also, I don't care. I'm so burnt out on Harry Potter. I'm sorry.
I mean,
getting to that point. Yeah.
J.K. Simmons, you know, was in Marvel. Then he went to DC for one film.
And he wrote all those Harry Potter books, right?
Yes. Yes. You know what? Yeah, that's it. Sure. Yeah.
I need moving pictures of Spider-Man.
Okay, so other quick hits. There was a trailer for the movie Onward that gives a little more idea of what the plot is going to be.
Yeah, Pixar's new flick.
Not what I expected.
Yeah,
definitely not.
It's fantasy road movie weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah, it kind of is. Like,
I like the fact that it's like, it has all the elements of like a standard like Western style fantasy set with a modern tone.
Yeah, I like the idea of it being what would happen in a fantasy setting once it gets to like the modern age.
Yeah, the technological jump.
Because that's all it is. I mean, all the main characters are elves.
Like elves and all kinds of weird stuff.
And there's
like,
all sorts of stuff there. Yeah, I think there's a chimera at one point.
Yep, that's the guy in the bar. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a world where like magic is kind of a thing, but not really. And they're trying to bring back their dad to life for one day. And they kind of succeed.
Yeah, they bring half of him back.
They bring half. And the whole movie is these two brothers played by Tom Holland and Chris Pratt.
I mean, some of the best parts of the MCU.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and Star-Lord.
Spider-Man and Star-Lord going cross-country in a awesome 80s metal van.
With a wizard painted on the side.
With a wizard painted on the side trying to find magic to bring their dad all the way back.
It's Tom Holland and Chris Pratt as Jack Black's character in the film Orange County.
And also Jack Black's character from Brutal Legend. Yeah, it looks great. I'm excited for this movie.
I was excited at the first teaser trailer. I'm doubly excited.
Yeah, even
now.
If the plot of the movie is kind of in like not as interesting as I was hoping, the setting itself, I'm excited to see what they do in the universe.
It's an original Pixar film.
Yeah.
When is an original Pixar film falling flat?
I just realized.
Yeah, true.
I referred to Orange County as a film, and that might have been being too generous.
I have like zero memories of that movie.
Kid wants to get into Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is Tom Hanks's kid, right? That was Colin Hanks.
So, yeah.
was the
Colin
main
Hanks.
Character.
Oh, yeah, he was,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. It was
most of the time when I think of like Jack Black like in a school setting, I just think of School of Rock.
It has that Crazy Town song. That's terrible.
Oh, yes.
Butterfly?
Yeah, Butterfly.
Yeah.
My sugar, baby.
All right, so...
Don't sing more. This is a family show.
Yeah, this is a family show. So, okay, Kevin Feige, the guy who has been kind of helming the ship that is the Marvel Studios movies, has been promoted within Disney Marvel conglomerate super company to the head of all of Marvel. That includes television and the shows that are going to be on their apps. And also the comics. And at the outset, that sounds like a great thing because the movies are good. But I am concerned by this,
you have
honestly.
Some thoughts.
And this, I'm going to be in the minority because most folks don't read comics these days. Comics is a dying art, and I understand that that is a thing. However, I have been happy with the Marvel movies and their storylines being separate from the comics, and that they kind of, the comics get readers into the movies and the movies get readers into the comics, fans into the comics. But there's a parallel, yeah. there's a line between the two, and never the twain shall meet.
A symbiotic relationship that doesn't cross that line.
They don't cross the streams, and I am kind of concerned that with Kevin Feige taking over the comics side of Marvel as well, we're going to see more and more of the comics being retooled and rebuilt to service the movies.
I mean, it's kind of been going that way since the MCU started.
Tiny bits here and there, but nothing too overt. Like, if all of a sudden Iron Man starts looking like Robert Downey Jr.'s...
They're not going to pay those likeness rights.
Marvel, Disney has more money than
sense.
It's
true.
So
they pretty much almost own everything now.
If they get it to where, like, I know that they've released like special comic one shots that, like, hey, if you like this movie, here is an extended part of this movie. But like, so multiverse.
Yes,
it's a thing where like
it's a very standard thing. It's in a the kind comics.
Of at this point, yeah. So the comics universe is like over here, and the movie universe is over there, and they're close, they're similar, but they're not the same thing. I'm worried that now they're going to slowly become merged into the same kind of entity, and it's going to be a detriment to the comics end of things.
Everything's gonna taste the same.
Yes, yeah. Boy,
it's British cooking.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, I like grilled chicken. It's delicious. I don't think I want that for every meal forever. And that is kind of what, like, okay, so like the comics are a real good cheeseburger. Not like a McDonald's one. I'm talking about like, you know, you go out to Steak and Shake or whatever. You get a good cheeseburger. You spend a couple bucks. And like, yeah. And the movies are like, you know, a real nice chicken sandwich. You know, that's cool. But this would be like if Wendy's decided, okay, all of our burgers are going to taste like chicken now. I hope you like chicken.
We only serve Dave's Double now.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all the Wendy's burgers. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Wendy's to death, but I mean, they all virtually are the same burger, just with slight changes.
Yeah.
Well, there's only so much you can do with the concept of cheeseburger.
That's very true.
I mean, if you think about it, all food, you can only do so much with it.
How are we talking about... Are we all hungry?
Yeah.
No.
I've been starving for a while.
Ah, okay.
I'm sorry. You said Wendy's, and then my lizard brain kicked in.
Oh, you know what's really good at Wendy's? The $5 bag. Have you ever gotten that?
No, I've gotten the 4 for $4.
Okay, so what it is? It's 4-piece chicken nugget, small fry, Nerd Overload,
brought to you by Wendy's.
No, it's not.
No, it's definitely not. No. But seriously, like double bacon cheeseburger, small chicken nugget, small fry, and a drink for $5. Like, it is the best thing on the menu.
That sounds awful. I like the 4 for $4.
A little bit.
I like the spicy nugs.
Those spicy nugs are delicious.
I don't like Wendy's nuggets. I've tried.
Really?
I think it's the breading. I just don't care for it.
Oh, okay. I see.
So anyway, Marvel, everything's going to be the same.
Potentially.
I could be wrong. Disney has been really smart with their properties and their acquisitions thus far, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, speaking of that, did you see the Deadpool news?
No.
Deadpool 3, they're going to start working on it soon, and it is going to be rated R.
Good. It would be a mistake for Disney to mess that one up.
They can always re-release it in PG-13 later and make even more money.
Exactly.
like they did with the edit scenes from that Christmas one they did.
Yeah. I kind of hope that this means that Disney will kind of renew. I know it would have to be under a different name because the name is super, super tainted, but there for a while, wasn't Miramax... Was it Miramax or Amblin was like the...
It was Miramax.
Miramax was like the Disney, but we're going to say a swear kind of, you know, sideline of their movies. They would have to change the name because of the Harvey Weinstein thing, certainly. But it would be nice to see Disney do an offshoot of like their studio kind of so thing. That they can start producing more adult content.
They'll call it Disney Nights.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. It'd be all neon and everything.
Yeah.
It'd be super rad. Actually, I'd be
Disney
into that.
Disney After Dark.
Disney After Dark, yeah.
Disney After Dark: Nights.
Disney After Dark: Nights. This one we cuss. Yeah.
Disney Swim.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, speaking of Disney, the Disney Plus app has been like popping Well, not the app's not out yet, but their Twitter account has
been out very soon.
Announcing like a million different movies, like, and they're doing some deep dives.
Yeah, and not good, not even good ones necessarily.
It's just like everything. They're just throwing it all in there.
Hey, they're just putting everything out there. Well, almost everything out there.
We're opening the vault and we're just pouring it in there.
Everything's there that's not racist.
Everything there's that's not Song of the South.
Yeah. I mean, weird live action movies from the 70s.
Yeah, like the 70s, their 80s output, like a lot of time, like the old Walt Disney mate, like movie of the week stuff.
Sonny the Way Out Seal, Herbie the Love Bug.
Mr. Boogity?
The famous Mr. Boogity, everybody knows Mr. Boogity.
Everybody knows that famous movie. Newest addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Mr. Boogity.
The Witch Mountain movies.
Oh, yeah, the Witch Mountain movies. Those were pretty good.
Well, the two of them were. And then they added that one with The Rock that I never saw.
Yeah, yeah.
They always add the one with The Rock that's not very good.
I still haven't watched the new Jumanji.
It's very good. It is worth a watch. Man, honestly.
When they released that trailer for the Jungle Cruise movie, mm-hmm. I just immediately got mad about it. And I don't know why. I'm just like, we don't need this. Jumanji. It's the same thing.
Well, what I think they're trying to do is they're trying to capture that lightning in a bottle they had with the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Boy, didn't they try that with Haunted Mansion, though?
Yeah, and that movie was garbage, too.
Yeah, how did that work out for them?
Pirates of the Caribbean wasn't good because it was based off a ride. It was good because it was a good movie about pirates.
Yes. Yeah. That is a situation where Disney is kind of taking the wrong concept away from the thing. But
now we're in for the sci-fi thriller Epcot.
That was what Tomorrowland was.
Yeah, that's right. They did make a movie about Tomorrowland with...
And it wasn't very good, apparently.
With George Clooney, right?
You know, George Clooney, you know, stepped out of his house and goes, you know what? I think I need to pay a bill today.
Yeah, pretty much.
We don't need any more middle-of-the-road movies with a rock in them about a jungle. Like, good God.
Yeah.
That was what it made me think about...
Rampage.
Rampage was cinematic. It was a cinematic delight.
Well, it made
he had so much chemistry with that giant gorilla.
Ready Player One, about mm-hmm. how one of the complaints about it is, surely we've created new media between the present day and the 2030, whatever this takes place in. And I'm starting to think that, like,
maybe we haven't. Maybe we won't.
We're definitely headed that direction.
Yeah.
Here's the thing you got to remember. Next month is the month of Blade Runner.
That's right. Oh, wow. That is when the Blade Runner happens.
November 2019 was Blade Runner.
That's right.
The original Lost in Space was in 1990. Was supposed to be 1997.
Space 1999.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we've let our ancestors down.
Yeah, we failed.
Aren't we getting pretty close to the point where Marty McFly... like travel to the future, like we are almost past that point.
I think we are past that.
Are we already past that one?
Yeah. I think that was like 2005.
Yeah, that's.
Like, here's the thing, like
we never got that virtual reality Jaws or whatever.
Isn't time weird? Isn't it weird how things?
I feel like technologically we have definitely stagnated. Like this is more of a philosophical kind of thing, but like if you look at like past culture and stuff, like look at the moon race and all that and all the things that did.
We have put a computer in our pocket.
True. Yeah.
We've advanced at a very, very high rate, just not in the ways that
they think we would.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I'm glad we don't have flying cars because people can't even drive the ones we have.
Yeah,
people can barely drive in two directions. Adding a third, that would be a nightmare.
Three-dimensionally.
Some 747 cut you off and didn't use its blinker.
I mean, I'm glad that we live in the technological age that we do. However, I do kind of regret not living in the retrofuturism that the 1960s wanted us
live in. I wish we lived in the Jetsons.
Yes.
Personally.
Yeah. Instead of this Apple nightmare that we do.
How come my car doesn't turn into a suitcase?
That would be great.
Or you're stuck on a treadmill outside the house walking the dog.
Where's my snappy robot maid?
Yeah, stop this crazy thing.
I've seen plenty of movies why we should not have robot servants.
Yeah, that does seem to be a thing. Actually, that is a major component to this season's Kamen Rider. They just made the revelation that all the robots, the reason that the robots are going crazy, are susceptible to the bad guy taking them over and becoming monsters of the week, is because there is a bug in their code that is, after like 6 months to a year, they start gaining sentience, and now they're going to get into the this children's show is going to get into the philosophical concept of
what is free will?
What is free will?
Kamen Rider become human.
Yeah, it is kind of. It's taking bits of Blade Runner and bits of Detroit Become Human, and it's now like...
To be fair, yeah. If you look at Detroit Become Human, it doesn't do anything revolutionary. It's science fiction trope to the T.
Yeah, we don't have to have this conversation.
Well,
that's
David Cage.
Yes. Also, by the way, speaking of sci-fi tropes and stuff, I keep seeing trailers for that new Terminator movie, and it makes me want to watch it really bad. For Linda Hamilton alone.
Well, yeah, that one looks pretty great.
I've still never seen any Terminator movie.
We need to sit down and watch.
We need to watch Terminator, Terminator 2, and then we'll watch this new one, Dark Fate.
Yeah, no one needs Genesis. No one needs 3.
No one needs
I take
Salvation. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I rode the Terminator show/ride at Universal.
Oh, well, then you already know everything.
Jeez, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we've gone way over on time, so we got to go ahead and wrap things up. Hey, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, with your parents' permission, of course.
Yeah, because this is a family show.
Mm-hmm.
We are also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help us out, head over there and check that out. You can actually get the show a couple days early. Thinking about some other tier kind of things. We're always coming up with new stuff.
We're pretty we're not that far away from the goal that brings our sister show.
No, I haven't seen that
to a monthly
upload. Yeah, and I really want that to happen because I love doing that show.
Yeah.
So yeah, we also sell t-shirts. Just go to the Nerd Overload page and click the store link. We have some pretty cool designs. Again, working on some new stuff. Hopefully we'll get that up before the end of the year. And yeah, I think that pretty well covers it. So again, thank you all for tuning in this week, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.